The Old Testament lesson for the 19th Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapter 28. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Getting into a boat, Jesus crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, This man is blaspheming. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say, Your sins are forgiven, or to say, Rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he then said to the paralytic, Rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God, who had given such authority to men. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
In the plains of Shinar, which was the place where the kingdom of Babylon would be established, in the plains of Shinar, the people got together and they said to themselves this from Genesis chapter 11. Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. That's the foundation of the Tower of Babel. Let us make a name for ourselves, and we'll build a tower with its top in the heavens. The gate of God, that's what the name Babylon means. The gate of God, that's what they were attempting to do. They were attempting to climb their way higher and higher and higher. And that story from Genesis chapter 11, that account of the people's attempt to reach into the heavens by building a city, to make an eternal name for themselves by establishing this tower, that account is a great example. In fact, it may be one of the best examples of how people tend to be oriented towards heaven. It is up there, and I am down here, and so I must go up. I need to climb. I need to put one foot in front of the other. I need to move up higher and higher. I need to build. I need to grow. I need to get stronger and more powerful and higher into the heavens. That's the way people tend to think in our world. That tends to be our innate natural orientation towards heaven and towards God. I have to get to Him. And to get to Him, I have to go up. Compare that with the biblical orientation towards God, how God teaches us to think about our relationship to Him and our relationship to heaven. Here I am, lowly and sinful, corruptible and dying, and in the end, I will not be going up anywhere, but I'll be laid low, 6 feet below the ground. And so, if I'm going to have anything to do with heaven, it cannot be a matter of me climbing higher and higher to get there. Rather, if I'm going to have anything to do with heaven, it must come down here to me. The arrow has to come from heaven downwards instead of the other direction, me trying to go up. That's the way the world thinks of things, climbing, aspiring, reaching. The way the Bible teaches us is quite different. Not climbing, not aspiring, not reaching because we cannot, instead receiving, praying, pleading, and being blessed by God. In Genesis chapter 11, when they built that tower to the heavens, that's what they were doing. They were trying to get up to God, and of course, you know how the story goes. They didn't make it. God saw their efforts, and even in that story, God comes down to them. But because they were scrambling and scraping and climbing, when God comes down to them, it is to confound them. It's to bring their efforts to nothing. It's to lay them low once again. But that was not the only time that people have climbed or attempted to climb into the heavens. Don't we do that all throughout history? Isn't the history of the world a history of empires, kingdoms, emperors trying to make a great name for themselves, people trying to establish their immortality? Isn't it a story of accomplishments and achievements? Let's send a rocket to the moon, and let's not stop there. Let's send a rocket to Mars. Let's try to get up higher through technology, through philosophy, through our humanity. Let's get better and better and better. And in fact, maybe someday, this is the current working theory, maybe someday we can be even better than human. Maybe we can transcend our humanity. Just add a little bit of machinery, a little bit of a computer, and you can be better still. That aspiration, that climbing, that's been all around since the beginning of the story, since Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden. Their son Cain went off into a foreign land, and his son Enoch established a city to try to make a name for himself, to try to make something that would last. But look around at the history of the world. How does it always end? Ends quite like that story of the Tower of Babel, in ruins. Don't we see all around us ruins? Histories, but histories that are just artifacts. The best you can come up with today is a recreation, a reenactment of history. So you can go and you can see a reenactment of the Battle of Gettysburg, but it's gone. It's in the past. Those days are over, and they aren't coming back. You can go and you can see people dressed up as settlers in Forest City, and you can watch how things used to be, but those days are gone. They are past. They are not coming back. Every attempt to build something, to make something that will last, it ends. All of our aspirations, all of our climbing, it ends with us, with humanity being laid 6 feet in the ground. How often do we try to do the same thing in our own lives? How often do we try to climb higher and higher, to chase after things that we desire, pleasures and joys, status, attainment, achievements, glory, fame, whatever it might be? How often do we try in our lives to hold off the inevitable or to imagine that we're not going to be laid 6 feet into the ground, to squeeze more out of life, to build a tower in our lives that will keep us off the ground, to make a name for ourselves that no one can take away from us, to squeeze purpose and meaning out of the vanity of life? When Solomon talks about vanity in Ecclesiastes, he talks about all of our efforts like a wisp of smoke. And you know that. You can feel that. Things that you build, things that you try to accomplish, it's the chasing after them that gives you some joy. But once you're there, once it's over, once it's past, now it gets smaller and smaller in the rearview mirror once it is in history. It is like smoke. It is like grasping after the wind. How often do we try to do that in our lives? Even we, Christians, chase after things that are going away. The tragedy of Babel and the tragedy of that kind of effort is not just that it is futile, that in the end the tower will be laid low, that we will be laid into the ground. The tragedy is not simply that we can't reach the heavens. The tragedy is that in an attempt to reach the heavens, we fail to recognize that God wants to work in exactly the opposite way. That our efforts to reach the heavens are all upside down because God, in fact, is quite willing to come to us. He does not want the heavens to be distant, that he does not want his glory and eternal life and the kingdom of God to be something unattainable and out of reach. And so he brings it near to us. That is the tragedy if you would miss that in your effort to make something for yourself, to make a name for yourself and build a tower into the heavens. The tragedy is that you would miss that God is here for you. Something that we see in spades in the story from Jacob, the Old Testament lesson today. Quite unlike in the story of the Tower of Babel, Jacob is in nowhere land. Remember, he is on the run because his brother Esau wants to kill him. His brother Esau wants to kill him because Jacob tricked his brother Esau out of his birthright and out of the blessing. And now Jacob needs to go spend 20 years as an exile in a foreign land with his uncle Laban because his brother Esau wants him dead. And so he is on the way. And while he is on the way, what did it say? It says he came to a certain place, the middle of nowhere. It's not in the plains of Shinar. It doesn't even have a name. And there he lies down to sleep. And there, in a place where no one was building a city and no one was building a tower, and where the only stone that you see propped up is a stone that Jacob was using for a pillow, there, where there was no settled home, and there, where there was nothing but exile and fear, Jacob went to sleep, and the heavens were opened. And a ladder was placed between the earth and the heavens, and Jacob saw angels ascending and descending, and the Lord God Almighty at the top. And it was not, as much as we might expect it, it was not a ladder for Jacob to climb. He would not be going up that ladder. Instead, it was a ladder down upon which the Lord himself would come. There Jacob lay, and he heard these all-comforting words. Let me read them again to you. The heavens are opened, and God is speaking, and he says, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in you and your offspring all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. I am with you, and I will not leave you. In this certain place, without a name, that Jacob just sort of stumbled upon at sunset, here, Jacob finds the house of God. Not because it was a particularly special place, not because it was magical, or there was anything holy about that dirt. It was a marvelous place because God chose to be with Jacob there. It was the house of God because that is where God said to Jacob, I will be with you. It is there that God said to Jacob, you are my child, and I have come to redeem you. It is where God chooses to be, here on earth with us, that we are blessed. It is not in our attempts to reach the heavens, to build anything for ourselves, much less is it in our attempts to chase pleasure or vanity or the joys of this life? No, it is where Christ comes to be with us that we receive a blessing. Notice the irony in the story about the paralytic today. This is a miracle that is recorded in both in all of the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And in Mark's account of this Gospel lesson, Jesus is teaching, and they bring a paralytic to him. And in order to get the paralytic to Jesus, they have to go up on a roof. But the going up on the roof is not because Jesus is up on the roof. It's because they have to remove the rafters so they can let him down. Because where is Jesus? On the ground with all of the people. Where is Jesus? Where he has chosen to be? Among us. Here, in fact, in this place. Where is Jesus? Not where we go looking for him, but where he wants to be found. There in the manger. There on the cross, crucified for you. Here, from this pulpit where God's word is preached to you. Here at this altar where his body and blood are delivered to you for the forgiveness of your sins. Notice this, I was thinking about the architecture of our sanctuary. You don't even have to go up steps when you come here to receive the body and blood of Jesus. You come, and what do? You kneel down. here he is coming down the steps to you, Jesus, for you. This confounds us because by nature we want to go up, we want to climb, we want to have something to claim for ourselves. But Jesus knows us better than that. Every effort to exalt ourselves, every effort to make a name for ourselves, every effort of our own to reach heaven will simply lead to despair. And so he says, stop it. Stop climbing. Stop aspiring. Stop trying to make a name for yourself. Stop trying to work off your sins. Stop trying to be perfect. In fact, let me do all of that for you. Let me make a name for you. Let me, in fact, give you my own name, he says. Let me wash away your sins with my perfect sacrifice, my blood, which is more precious than gold and silver. Let me give you my perfection. Let me perfect you so that in the end, when you stand before God at his throne, you will be perfect. Not because of anything that you have done for yourselves, but because you have received it as a glorious gift from the God who wants to be with you, who has promised to be with you and never to leave you. And so all that is left for us is to be like Jacob, to be humble and lowly, to lay our heads on a pillow made of stone in a nowhere land, in a place that seems insignificant, in a sanctuary that won't be here forever, in a building that will crumble one day, but in a place where God's word is heard, where Christ has promised to be here with you. Let us always be like Jacob, humble and receiving what God has to give to us. Let me make a name for you. Let me make a place for you. Let me be your God and you be my people. I am here to dwell with you, to remain with you forever. Nothing can harm you. No danger can threaten you. No temptation is too strong for you. When you have the Lord your God by your side, all is well. It was in that confidence that Jacob was able to go on his journey, and he encountered all kinds of trouble along the way. But it was that promise that he held on to for dear life all the way. And it is that promise which you should hold on to for dear life. Do not let go. God's word is sure and certain. It is the one solid foundation. And though the earth gives way and the mountains totter and be tossed into the sea, his word will never be broken. And you will always be his people. To God alone be all glory now and forever. Amen.